Let's open our Bibles together now to the book of Proverbs. Our text this morning is found in chapter 17 and verse 6. We're going to start to read in chapter 16, verse 31. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 31, we'll read through verse 9 of chapter 17, and then we'll skip to verse 21 through 28. Beginning then in Proverbs 16, God's Word, this is the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. The book of Proverbs, Proverbs 16, verse 31, the hoary head or the gray or white head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. The wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and the liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his Maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it, whithersoever it turneth it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separates very friends. Now let's go to verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A wicked man taketh gift out of the bosom to pervert the way of judgment. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. Also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. May God bless His Word to our hearts. We look at verse 6 this morning. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking this morning at our present evil and degenerate world, and then looking at ourselves and our sins and failures as men, we might ask, is this proverb still true? The glory of children are their fathers. A children's glory is their honor, their beauty. It refers to children who are proud, in the good sense, of their fathers. Is this true today? We see sadly that fathers can become a shame to their children. And we feel that. We feel that in our own hearts as fathers. And then we look outside into this world, and on the one hand we see the homosexual agenda, of which God says, Philippians chapter 3, that they glory in their shame. And Romans chapter 1, that they work that which is unseemly, literally unmentionable among themselves, and they advocate that they will then be fathers, and they will rear children. And then on the other hand, we see that children more and more live in a fatherless home. Parents within these homes more and more are like children, immature, greedy, and selfish. We see more and more unfaithfulness in men to their wives, abandoning home, throwing away the responsibilities that come with children. We see abuse physically and sexually, and that hurts deeply, deeply. And then we look at the church, and so much of the church is swept along with this tide, and not only condones, but promotes and welcomes the perversions. If we would truly see this morning how God made us originally in Adam and Eve, and what Adam and Eve's life was like before sin, if we would truly see that, we would weep today till our eyes could weep no more. It seems that our sin, and Satan, and the world has pushed into the mud all that God has intended to be a father. Is this proverb still true? Yes. Because there's a cross. Cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The cross whereby God's Son washes the vilest clean. The cross which is the mighty power of God through Jesus Christ to mold us by His Spirit to be the men of God that He intends us to be. God has come in His Son, Christ Jesus, by grace and by grace alone. And He has given that cross whereby we are not only redeemed from our sins, but we are restored and made alive. We are raised up. We are changed in our hearts and lives. And we are made to be fathers to serve God's eternal purposes with our children. We become a God-fearing father. What is a God-fearing father? A God-fearing father is one who has found his refuge and his strength in the cross of Jesus. A God-fearing father is one who is resolved by God's grace to live unto God as his servant. A God-fearing father is one who wants to model to his children. He wants to represent to his children what it means to be a child of God in every area of their life. A godly father wants to be Christ-like. He wants to be God's servant. In the home, he is one who loves and has compassion. He is one who holds fast to the truth of God. He is committed to his family. He carries in the home spiritual weight. He teaches trust and obedience and honesty and prayer. He warns and he comforts and he teaches. Today, through the cross of Jesus Christ, we may say, the glory of children are their fathers. Let's look into that very humbling word of God on this Father's Day. Fathers are the glory of their children. Let's see that this is, first of all, an incredible claim. Secondly, that it brings an implied or important charge. And then finally, there is an illustrious crown. Although the world has a whole lot to say about dads, God has His own word about fathers and their place within the home. And He says, fathers are, or fathers constitute, the glory of their children. Now the translation glory here at first is a bit misleading. It's a different word than the word that we are accustomed to use for glory in the Scripture. When we think of glory, we think of God, and we think of Isaiah 42 verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The word glory there refers to that which is heavy, that which is weighty, that which is immense, that which is rich. God is full of glory. He's heavy. He's rich. Now, this word glory is a little different from that. It means simply beauty, adornment. It refers to something to boast in, something that gives honor. And the text says, fathers are to be the beauty, the adornment of their children. Or we may say, a father's life becomes the crown or the beauty of their children, their heritage. A father becomes someone who his children look up to, is the idea. A child's glory is their father. So Solomon here, the Holy Spirit is talking about a great treasure given to a child. When a child can look up and say, my dad always said, my father always did. When a child blesses the memory of his father, that's a priceless gift to that child. We've experienced this, I'm sure. You're in a conversation, perhaps with a person older than you or same age. You've just met this person. You didn't know this person, and you're talking a little bit, and they ask you, who is your father? And you tell them, and they say to you, he's your dad? I know him. He's a good man. I love him. I learned a lot from him. So you're his son. And so the idea is of a father. God's word here is of a father who by his grace alone, has brought beauty to the head of a child. Note the verse is referring, there's making a comparison. It talks about the crown of an old man on his head is to see his children's children, his grandchildren, in the truth of God. That's his crown. So also children carry a crown. And it's the life of their father. The spiritual example of a father. Think, for example, of Hiram, the king of Tyre, who treated Solomon so favorably when Solomon wanted material for the building of the temple. He provided Solomon from his kingdom cedar trees and fir trees and gold for the temple. And Kings tells us that Hiram did this to Solomon because of his friendship with Solomon's father David, the man after God's own heart. David brought glory to Solomon, brought to Solomon a good name. In fact, if you read there carefully, 1 Kings chapter 9. Hiram was not too pleased with what Solomon gave him in return. Solomon gave him a bunch of cities that Hiram calls Kabul, worthless cities. But he transacted business with Solomon because he remembered David, his father. And then the Bible also brings up the other side as well. Fathers who do not bring glory to their children. 2 Kings chapter 5, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, when Naaman the Syrian had been healed by Elisha and had offered him raiment and gold, and Elisha had turned it all down. And Gehazi, Elisha's servant, behind Elisha's back, ran after Naaman when he had left and said, "My master has changed his mind. Please give him some changes of raiment and some gold." He wanted it for himself. He thought Elisha could not see him. And when he returned, Elisha confronted him and said, "The leprosy of Naaman shall be upon you and to your children forever." Now God is speaking here in His covenant of grace. He's speaking here entirely not of merit, not of anything that we can transport to our children. Do we not confess in that form for baptism? Although we and our children are conceived and born in sin and therefore are subject of wrath, subject to wrath, yet by grace, God works in us His love, His repentance. And God says, "This is what I am intending. I am intending that a father be the beauty of his children." Now, why is that? Why? Why ought that to be the case? And that's to be the case because of a very incredible reason. We look to God as men now because this reason, from a certain point of view, just withers us. This is such a lofty calling. How can we? We say with Paul, we can't do this unless the Lord sustains us. The reason is this: God has established that a father, in a very special way, a father is to be His representative to the children. Fathers are God's representatives in the home. God has chosen to represent in our fathers who He is. Who He is in Himself and what He does. That's the biblical understanding of a father. He takes the name Father when you're given the name Father by God. It means that we have the responsibility to express who the real Father is and what the real Father is like. That's absolutely amazing. Young dads, think with me just a moment. What's the first word you're going to teach your children about God? I know we pray, "Lord, bless this food and drink for Jesus' sake," and so on. But in the high chair already, you take their hands, their little hands, as a father, you put your hand over their eyes, and you say, "Pray, our Father, who art in heaven." What does a 6-month, 8-month, year and a half child know about God as Father? He only knows, they only know, what the word Father means from you. From you. From you. They come to understand the nature of that word. God is my Father. This is absolutely amazing. This is overwhelming. The firmness of love, the hand and the heart, the discipline, the rule, the guidance of the home, the relation to the wife, the wisdom, the encouragement, the protection, the correction that you give your child is to reflect the very character of your God. God says, "I want to image myself in the home by the Father." This is an awesome calling to be a father. There's no greater calling we can imagine. Your calling and purpose of God is to represent God. Show by your words, by your deeds, by your heart, what God is and what God is like. You remember a few weeks ago we had that passage in Hosea chapter 11 where God likens himself. It's probably one of the most amazing passages in the whole Bible, incredible passage where God presents himself, and he presents himself to us as a father. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. I taught Ephraim also to go. I taught him how to walk, taking him by their arms. I drew him with bands of love. And then God goes on to say, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee like Adamah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? My heart is turned within me. My sympathies are stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One of Israel. God says, this is the way it is. I am your father. As you fathers take that little child and throw him up in the air and catch him and embrace him around you, as you swoop up that newborn child in the delivery room or that little child and you hold that child close to your chest. That's exactly, God says, that's exactly, only perfectly. That's exactly the way it is with me and my children in Jesus Christ. I'm their father. I have begotten them. I begat them by my mighty love and grace through Jesus Christ. I love them and I cherish them and I will never turn away from them. It's an incredible, incredible thing. God represents himself to our children in the home, by fathers. We glory in our fathers in the Lord, not because of their strength, not because of their sports ability, and not because they so sacrificially provide us food and shelter. But we glory in them because they show us God. I say this is overwhelming, truly overwhelming. We say, Lord, how? How can that be? And the Lord answers, you must know my son, Jesus Christ. You must know him personally. Although I'm going to come back to this, in my heart I have to keep saying this. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the one who reveals to us the Father. Jesus Christ could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And so if we are to reveal the Father to our children, fathers, we must be Christ-like. We must know Christ. We must walk with Christ. What a blessing a father is. A father whose one desire is to be like Christ. And so this Word of God highlights the incredible gift of a dad. It does not disparage mothers. It does not give us to conclude that if our Father on earth has not done this, that we are without hope, that we have no joy today. We have a perfect joy. It's never based in men. Our comfort and our faith is not based on man, any man. It's based on the Lord, who is our strength and who is our shield. and has become our salvation. But we thank God for Christian fathers. And boys, young men, this is what you must be. This is what it means to get married. This is what it means to be a dad. That you have this calling to mold, to impress the soul and the life of your child so that they might know and put their trust in the Father. Girls, this is what you look for in a man. When you date and when you think of marriage, you need to look for the father of your children, the Lord willing. A man who, by grace, is humble and wants to represent God the Father to your children. We glory in that today. Now this incredible claim brings a charge to us. For the Word of God is not just telling us what it should be, but then it must also speak to us of what we are to aim at, what our goals must be. And so there comes a charge here, and the charge to us is first of all, children, is first of all to you today as children. You are children to glory. Children, you are to glory in your Father. This is exactly the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them not just by obeying them, not just by doing what they tell you to do, but honor. That's an attitude of the heart. God is calling us as children to hold our fathers in our minds as something precious given of God to us. I want you to think now with me, children of Joseph, when after the famine has started and he is the second ruler in Egypt and he has revealed to his brothers who he is and he brings his father Jacob and the whole family down to Egypt, and the first thing that he does, do you remember the first thing that he does? He brings his father Jacob to Pharaoh. And he says, Pharaoh, this is my dad. In many ways I am who I am because of this man, my father. Jacob, as we know, a child of God for sure, had his failures. He says, Pharaoh, you appreciate me as after the last 14 years in diligence and integrity and honesty, you didn't have to look after anything, and in faithfulness, I served you and served your kingdom. But this is my dad, Pharaoh. By the grace of God, I am what I am to a large measure through God's work, through Him. I glory in my Father. I'm not ashamed that this shepherd has come from Canaan. I'm not going to try to hide him in some corner of Egypt, ashamed of him, that I wouldn't bring him into your royal court. Have you ever been, as a young man, ashamed of your father? Before your friends because of his ways? I'm not embarrassed about him, Pharaoh. I want you to meet my dad. We are called to do the same. We are to glory in them. We are to respect them and honor them. And we glory in our fathers as children and as young people. We glory in them by walking in our hearts, with our hearts, in the truth, and in the way that they have taught us. And what a treasure, all of grace, But what a treasure. Yes, we are sinful. We are weak and sinful. But what a treasure of grace to have fathers who have taught us the way of truth. Perhaps we don't realize that. We don't realize that blessing because we haven't grown up without that. Maybe if we had, we'd stand in awe over such a blessing. When you get to be 20 years old today, even before that, when you get to be 30 and 40, you have your children yourself, you look back at your dad and you know his faults, that's for sure. And those faults are not hard to find. But we had a generation, you had a generation here, not of perfect angels by any means, but we had a generation who served God. We had a generation who loved God and His truth and stood for it in this world. We have a generation who set aside the material and built up the kingdom of God and His covenant, who loved the Lord God. Now we glory in God today. Our boasting is in God. But we praise God for faithful fathers. Fathers who will say to us, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Fathers, you bring them the card today, and they're probably embarrassed or surprised by it. They feel, they see, just like a woman, they see their sins. And they see where they failed. And you bring them the card, and you thank God for them. You must glory in such a father. There's a charge here to mothers. That charge is, how you treat your husband will control how they treat and view him, their father. If you make fun of him, they will. If you resent his headship, they will. If you speak before your children, in the presence of your children, against the will of your husband, there's a time for you to speak to him. It's not in front of your children. You speak against his will, they will speak against his will. If you undermine him, if you mock him in front of the children, they will. So will your children. One of the vital roles of a wife and mother, of a companion, when you get married, a woman says, I'll be your companion. I will walk each step with you. I will help you in your calling so that you are able to do your calling, so that you are able to do your calling better than if you were alone. One of the calling of a Christian mother is to show to her children the calling and the will of God for a father in the home. To teach their children what the father is to do in the home. And to say to her children, your father said. What did your father say? And to explain to their children all that a father is called to do by God. Now it's very easy to see the faults of your husband. And it's easy also to be tempted to enlist your children on your side when you are upset with him. Don't do that. You're tearing something down in their lives. Our wives know our faults as husbands better than anyone else in the whole world. And there's a time and there's a place where that has to be dealt with her. But wife, you are his companion. And you are to hold him up before your children. And then finally, there is the charge, of course, to fathers. I have to say that I find this Word of God to be very sobering, very intimidating, and very convicting. We are to represent God in our fathering, and we are such sinful men. Let me say a word not only to men who are fathers, but to all of us as men of the congregation, because the charge does not come just to family men. It comes to every man, every young adult man, every teenager, every man, married or not married, children or no children. It comes to every one of us. We are all in the role of fathers. Remember the Apostle Paul. He was not married. And he was a father. And he had lots of children, spiritual children, young people, families that looked up to him for spiritual guidance. So also are we as men in the church of God to be these spiritual fathers. As fathers in our homes, it takes only an hour when mom is gone on Saturday to discover our faults. Not very long, we lose our patience and we're ready to pluck them down before the television or send them outside. All of their questions, all of their needs, their bickerings. We tell them to be quiet and then we don't do it. We blow up. We don't do that the proper way. We're almost ready to shrink from that responsibility. We say, leave me alone. Don't bother me. We're tempted to do that. And then we need to remember that we're the one who has to reveal to those children the God of the open ear. The God of the open ear. And then we have to remember when that little child is hurt or they need their diaper changed. That we are the one who must reveal the God who wraps his arms of love around the hurts of his children, even when those hurts are little hurts. We're little children. And our hurt, what is hurting us today in comparison to others, may not be very big, but it's very big to us. And our Father in heaven wraps his arms around us. And then there's the time to eat. And they're in the high chair. And they're picky. And you're tempted to say, honey, feed this kid. Rather than as a father, reveal to your child the God who feeds us as a father from his own hand. And then they have disobeyed. We must not give that over to mom to be the disciplinarian. We are to reveal the God of truth and honesty and holiness and the God of mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. Our calling as a father is not to be, when they get older, simply their buddies. And they jump over the furniture that the wife doesn't want that done, or we play hockey in the living room. But we must show them what God's ear is like, what God's hand is like, what God's eyes are like, what God's heart is like. And that's the kind of man that you look for as a young girl. Fathers are recognized today, and that's good. That's good. They need encouragement. They need lots of encouragement. They need love. For this is sobering. This is intimidating. This is overwhelming of ourselves. This is convicting. And men, if we're going to say to our wives, I'm the head of this house, then we need to take up the responsibility that God has given to us and live in such a way that we are to the glory of our children, and say to our children, you follow me as I follow God. You live as I live. That's what we must do. There's good news. There's great news. For the God that has called us is the Father who is faithful to us, His sons, and who will enable us and forgive us and restore us when we have fallen. And so we go back again to Christ. God has given to us Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ shows us the Father. Christ is our pattern. Christ is our example. Be as Christ. Take Christ. Take the Word of God into your heart and into your soul. And in Him, by grace, humble and repentant, we are enabled to be the Father that we must be. Until, as a husband, as a father, until we are willing to live God's way, we are going to run into all kinds of trouble. Look to Christ, bow to Christ, follow Christ, and then we will reveal the Father. The proverb says there will be a crown upon an old grandpa's head or a great grandpa's head, and that crown will be his children's children, walking in the way, in the faith, in the love of God that God had put into his heart. When you see your son teaching his son, teaching his son, that's a crown of rejoicing. And children have a crown of rejoicing in their fathers. Let's give thanks. A father does not need to be a sports star. He does not need to give his children every earthly comfort. He does not need to give them a certain house. What he needs to do is reflect the fatherhood of God and show God. And so we look today beyond our earthly fathers to our heavenly Father, and we praise Him for fathers who are a crown of glory to their children. Amen. Father in heaven, we love thy word, and yet at the same time we sense that we are incapable. Lift us up with confidence that we are embraced as men in the love of God, that we renounce our own strength and worthiness, and that by faith we believe that we are justified, and that the Heavenly Father has pleasure in us, and that He is pleased to use even our weak and sinful efforts, that He is pleased to use them for eternal good, for the families, and for the children that we so dearly love. In Jesus' name, amen.